I want to invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15 and 19 through 23. A continuation of what we have as Matthew's version of the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 2, 13 through 15 and 19 through 23. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, go and take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." And beginning in verse 19, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He will be called a Nazarene." How often have you had those times where you just kind of had a feeling that you needed to do something, to go somewhere, to stop by a home, to speak a word to a particular person? How many times have you had those feelings and not done them, only later to wonder, what would the outcome have been had I done this? What would have gone right or wrong or been different because of that? And oftentimes when we think back on those situations, those times, we wonder, are we regretting what we didn't do, or would we have regretted what we had done? How many times have we wondered when we have done something like that? We've answered that kind of feeling or that kind of call and wondered just how much it helped. Or perhaps you helped someone just out of a sense of that feeling, and you were blessed by their reaction and by what had happened to them, and you thought, you know, that was the voice of God speaking to me. There have been times in my life, many times, where I have wondered, should I have? Why didn't I? There have been other times when, just out of the blue, I've said, maybe I need to stop here, only to find that it was a moment that was appropriate and right. We continue as part of life to lose folks, and by the way, this part isn't written down. We continue to lose folks from this life to death, so they might spend the rest of eternity where someday we hope and pray we will be. And I still remember making a stop just before Christmas, a number of years ago, just kind of out of the blue, riding down Highway 20, I said, there are a couple of extra cars at the Grover's house. I wonder what's going on. Pulled a U and got there to spend some time with them shortly before Frank passed. I had other places I had planned on going. But in that moment, that voice seemed to speak in my subconscious, and I will not forget. And I am convinced that was definitely at least a nudge from God. But as I said, there have been other times when I have wondered, when I didn't stop somewhere or I didn't reach out to this person or that person. And then we say, well, if I had it to do over again, maybe. Well, Here we are at the beginning of a new year, 2016. There will be many opportunities for you and me throughout this year, I'm sure, to reach out with a hand, to utter a kind word, to help in some way. There will be times when we will wonder, well, should I really do this or not? When the world in which we live will scare us and make us wonder. And yet, in those times, I would suggest that perhaps we sometimes find a test of our own trust. Our own trust in God and our own trust in what God can and will do through us. Now, what does that have to do with the passages that were read for today? Part of this Christmas story, this idyllic scene that we often create for ourselves. If you think about the story, and in particular the section that I skipped in these verses, perhaps you know why I'm raising the question about listening to the voice of God and going. The Magi have come. Jesus is at least 40 days old, but possibly up to 2 years old. But at least 40 days old when they have arrived. We've talked before a couple of weeks ago, when one of the Magi visited with us about Herod's reaction and about the dream that he had that perhaps we should not go back and see Herod again, but move and go by another way. And we know that's because of Herod's plot. But here we are in this passage. The Magi have left. The wonder is still there for Mary and Joseph. Royalty has come to see them. Lavish gifts have been given for their child, who has been proclaimed by these wealthy and wise men. They have confirmed this is God's Messiah. And so Mary and Joseph, I imagine, go back and they lie down and they go to sleep after checking the baby. Everything seems to be going well in their world. When suddenly, Joseph has a dream. Now, by the way, remember Matthew is a Jewish Christian writer, and dreams are very important within Judaism and the understanding of those dreams. And so an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream here. And he says, I want you to get up. He didn't say, wait till tomorrow and rent a U-Haul. He said, get up, go and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Now, we're not told what Joseph thought. I mean, the middle of the night. I've just gotten to sleep. The baby's going to get up in a couple of hours to be fed, and I'm probably going to wake up when he does. Come on, can't we wait? No. Just like God rescuing Israel from Egypt and Moses being told the people are going to get up in the middle of the night and leave. So here an angel of the Lord gives Joseph a command. By the way, this is in the imperative. It's not if you want to or think about it, but he says, get up now, get up and take the child and go. For Herod is about to destroy him. Now, Joseph could have waited. Joseph could have said, well, you know, maybe this dream, it's just an undigested piece of beef or a crust of bread or something else. But here we are told why God chooses these parents. And we're told about the choices that they will make in life for themselves and for their son. The text doesn't tell us that Joseph waited until morning, but rather in the Greek text, the implication here is Joseph got up immediately, packed them up, and went to Egypt. Egypt, a place that was not always so nice. And yet here God sends them away into the uncertainty that they would face, the uncertainty of life. Joseph, I'm sure, on the way more than once wondered about the decision to get up and leave. But we also know that according to the text, Herod didn't wait until the next day or the day after to send soldiers into Bethlehem. In fact, some scholars think that perhaps just shortly after Mary and Joseph and Jesus left Bethlehem, headed toward Egypt, that the soldiers appeared in the dead of night to wreak havoc, to seek to destroy the Son of God. And Joseph does exactly what he is told, even though there is uncertainty, leaving with a baby of just a few weeks, a mom who has just begun fully recovering from childbirth, and heading to a place into the unknown where there is no real definitive spot for them. I mean, think about it. There's no Motel 6 leaving the light on for them. They have no relatives in Egypt. Well, why not if we go back home? All of these kinds of questions arise within the mind of Joseph, but we are told that when the angel said to go, he went. He listened to that angel, he listened to that voice. And as a result, the new life that had just been birthed continued for you and for me. Now, we are told that this was part of what God had said earlier. Go to Egypt, for out of Egypt I have called my son. How many times do we wonder, should I talk to this person? Should I reach out and help this one or not? And later, we wonder, as I said earlier, was it the voice of God? Perhaps I was the means by which that person was to come to Christ, or that person's day was to be made better. When Herod died, and we're not exactly sure when that was. Well, we know what year. It was the spring of 4 B.C. We're not exactly sure how long they stayed in Egypt. But Joseph trusted in God's presence and God's preservation, even in the uncertainty. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Now, get up, take the child and go. Go back to Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Well, they had become comfortable where they were. Now we've got to pick up and move again. Once again, we are not told that Joseph hesitated. The text says Joseph got up. And once again, in the Greek text, it's got up immediately and left, heading back to Israel. Probably wanted to go back to that little house in Bethlehem where they had been. But as they approach, he finds out that Archelaus, one of the sons of Herod the Great, was ruling over that particular area. And so he was afraid to go back. Instead, he goes north and dwells in Nazareth. Well, why? Archelaus was the son of Herod the Great, who was such a poor ruler that the people went to the Romans and said, "Please get rid of him." Archelaus was probably one of those that would have continued to seek to harm Jesus had he found out that he was in the area. And so Joseph does what he is told to do. He is obedient to that voice, even when things were uncertain. And as a result, he goes to that place from which Jesus comes later, Nazareth. Once again, fulfilling what the prophet had said, that he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, Joseph goes not grumbling, but I'm sure wondering, And as a result, Jesus grows in stature and in favor, not only with God, but with men. Jesus, who learned from His Father, that earthly Father, the one who raised Him, the importance of listening to the voice of God, even as a young child. Jesus, who comes to be the Nazarene. Very probably, the prophet that is quoted here is speaking of a Nazarite as well. A Nazarite vow, which was taken to follow God regardless of where that might lead. On the surface of things, it might seem odd that Joseph would pick up and move simply on a whim or a voice or a dream. But we also have to remember the importance of relationship. The importance of the relationship that Joseph had with God. We talk at Christmas time all the time about Mary's relationship with God. In fact, there are denominations that focus very heavily upon Mary and upon her listening to the voice of God and her commitment. But very often we forget that while Mary is indeed the one who bore Jesus and the one on whom there is a lot of emphasis, there was also a man who had to make choices. Choices to listen to the voice of God, to start a new era in life. After all, this young woman to whom he was engaged tells him that she's pregnant and she has not been with a man. Incredulous story to believe. And yet we are told of the commitment of Joseph to following what he was told through a voice of God. We find Mary giving birth to the child and Joseph standing as protector and guardian, wondering what is next. And in walk shepherds one night, the night of the birth. And they say, angels have told us to come, and we have come. And now we will go and tell. And then some weeks later, magi come. And they said, we were led by a star to go to this place. And now Joseph is told to go. That relationship that he had with God was such an important thing that it extended to his family and to making sure that they were protected and that this child was raised. But the faith, a faith in God the Father. Yes, he was Son of God, but he was also human. He was God in the flesh for you and for me. And because, I think in part, because of Joseph's obedience to go where God led him in the uncertainty of a bride who was pregnant, in the uncertainty of the birth of a child in a strange place, in the uncertainty of leaving with that child and the mother and going off into other strange places like Egypt, with no definitive plan that he could see. We find that relationship and that commitment extends to the child in his raising. We're told by Luke, as we've talked about before, that they did everything according to the law. And when God said, go, Joseph went. Many times, as I said earlier, God's voice says for us to go. To go to that one who is in trouble. To go to that one who is hurting. To go to that one who is in need of a kind word or perhaps just a presence. but I think even more so. That message of God to go extends to our families and gives us opportunities to start anew. Not just a new year, but to start anew each day. To go into those places where perhaps we don't want to. How many of us want to talk to family sometimes about issues? Whether it's issues of faith or issues of help that they might need. And yet the voice says, go. Go. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. And you all know the saying. You all know the saying. That once today is over, it becomes yesterday, and tomorrow becomes today, so tomorrow never comes. Here we are, the first Sunday in a new year. A time where we have the opportunity to go, whether it's to go to church, to go into the neighborhood, to go next door to that neighbor with whom we haven't spoken in years. The opportunity to share in relationship. It's uncertain. The year is uncertain. But you know, not really. Because as Joseph picked up and went in his confidence in God, the uncertainty of the year, the uncertainty of the neighbor, the uncertainty of did I really hear that voice correctly, can become a certainty. A certainty of God's presence and a certainty of commitment and trust. When we, like Joseph, give in to the leading of God, to that still small voice that comes, so that we might go and be the presence and the light of this baby who has come within us. I don't think we'll run into Herod the Great, but we may run into his sons or his daughters. But then again, did Jesus not come for us? And in his life, go for us. And just as Joseph was told, get up and go, at the end of Jesus' life, he looks to his disciples and even further to you and to me and says, go and make disciples and teach them all that I have commanded. January 2016. The question for me is, when the voice comes, will I go? May we pray. Our gracious God, we thank you that you care enough about us to be in relationship with us and to allow us, or better yet, to send us that we might go and share your grace. Forgive us when we fail to listen. Forgive us when we make excuses for not being present with you and with those who are in need. Strengthen us so that we might go. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is 294. One Day When Heaven Was Filled With His Praises. As we stand and as we sing, it occurs to me that one of the ways that heaven continues to be filled with God's praises are those times that we listen and we go. and we give. Hymn number 294, One Day.